You're listening to The Writer's Voice on Virginia Voice. I'm Jennifer Robbins, your host today. I'm so excited that we have Mark Batterson with us today. He's the lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., recognized as one of America's most innovative churches, and also New York Times bestseller of The Circle Maker, praying circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears. Thank you for being with us today, Mark.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Jennifer.
Mark, I want to start by asking you to explain to our listeners who The Circle Maker represents in your book.
Yeah, you know, years ago I discovered this true legend of Honi the Circle Maker, who lived in the first century B.C. and was asked to pray during a drought. I mean, it was so severe that it threatened to destroy a generation. And history records that when the people asked him to pray, he did something rather curious. He took his staff and he drew a circle in the sand, and then he knelt in that circle and he prayed this prayer. He said, "Sovereign Lord, I swear before your great name that I will not leave this circle until you have mercy upon your children." And beautiful thing is, it started to rain, and now the funny thing is the Sanhedrin actually wanted to excommunicate him because they felt like it was too demanding, that you can't demand something from God. But here's what I believe, that God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. And ultimately he was honored for the prayer that saved a generation. And what I love about that, Jennifer, is, I mean, that just speaks to the power of prayer. I believe one prayer can change anything. One prayer can change everything. And that really is the lesson from that story. And I think it's a lesson that has really resonated with readers.
Wow, that's amazing. That gives me goosebumps to think that, you know, a prayer that powerful can change, can make such an impact. It's amazing. Now, you refer to Jericho a lot in your book. Can you tell our listeners why it's important to know what your Jericho is?
You know, Jericho is this first city in the Promised Land that the Israelites marched around for 7 days, and of course, seven times on the seventh day. And to me, it's a wonderful picture of what God has called each one of us to do, to circle his promises, if you will. And so I think it's a picture that shows us the importance of identifying those promises in Scripture that God wants us to stand on and pray through. And, you know, I know some people say, well, you can't just claim this promise or that promise and take it out of context. And I understand that. But, you know, the Bible also says no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And I don't think our problem is overclaiming the promises of God. I think our problem is underclaiming those promises. And so really what I try to do in the book is encourage people, hey, what are those promises that you need to be believing God for? And I believe that honors God.
Very interesting. So, you know, I'm very curious. How do you pray circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears? Because we all have dreams and we all have fears. So how do you really do that? I mean, how do you pray circles around those dreams and fears?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I would say is, you know, I think every prayer has to pass a twofold litmus test. It's got to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. It's not about outlining our agenda to God. I think prayer is about getting into God's presence and allowing him to outline his agenda to us. And so I think that's the first step. But then this idea of circling things in prayer, it's not about, you know, physically circling things, although I've done that. And
okay.
Of course, in the book, I share some incredible stories of, you know, the 4.7-mile prayer walk that I did around Capitol Hill 15 years ago. So sometimes I do that, but praying in circles is just a metaphor for praying through. It's like what Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Now those are present imperative verbs. In other words, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and I might just add, keep circling.
Okay, so keep asking God, what is it that he wants me to do? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think if folks don't know where to start when it comes to prayer, I think the first step is, well, pray the Bible. You know, the Bible wasn't just meant to be read. I believe it was meant to be prayed. And so, you know, when you open the Bible, God opens his mouth, begins to speak to you, and then you begin to talk back to him. Then over the course of time, what I've found is that there are certain verses that will get into your spirit. Well, you need to keep praying through those. Or maybe God's given you a dream. Or maybe there's someone in your life that you're believing that they're going to come to faith in Christ. Or there's some situation that just is beyond your control and you're not sure what to do about it. Well, those are things that then you need to begin to pray around until you see God begin to move and intervene in those situations.
We're talking with Mark Batterson, New York Times bestseller of The Circle Maker, praying circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears. Now, you mentioned in your book that one of your first memories was hearing your grandfather pray for you, and you feel his prayers still help you today. What would you say to people who did not have anyone praying for them when they were children?
It is one of my earliest memories, and I'm so grateful for what I call my prayer genealogy, mm-hmm. that I had grandparents and parents and others who have prayed for me for many, many years. I also know that not everybody has that kind of spiritual inheritance, if you will. And so while you may not have a lot of people who have prayed for you, I would suggest that you can start a genealogy, that you can begin this legacy of prayer and begin praying for the people in your life. You know, a good example is praying circles around your children and the importance of us praying for our kids. You'll never be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent.
Right.
And I have prayed Luke 2:52 thousands of times for my kids. May you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And I think that, you know, that is our greatest responsibility and greatest privilege, is to put ourselves in that posture of prayer. And of course, prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. And I want the best that God can do.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I know I've been through some struggles, and I've had friends praying for me, and it's been amazing. I see things happening, friends and family. Recently, my mom went through some cancer treatment, and I've had friends at my church praying for her. And I really see change happening. She's healing, and she's getting so much better. So I really believe in the power of prayer. It's amazing. You know, I never realized just how amazing the power of prayer really is. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people who work long hours and demanding jobs, or they have a lot of family responsibilities, and they may love the idea of praying circles around their problems and want to pray intensely, but they have a severe lack of free time? How should they approach prayer when their free time is so limited? Do you have suggestions for that?
Yeah, I think it starts with redefining what prayer looks like. I don't think it's simply closing our eyes and folding our hands. I think prayer is this really, almost anything can become a prayer. For example,
okay.
You're reading the newspaper in the morning, and well, what about instead of just reading it, if you started praying it? In other words, you read about the tornado that went through the state of Illinois, and we happen to have some extended family whose house was destroyed in that. So it's natural for us to do more than just listen to the news. You know, we respond to it in prayer. But what if we did that? What if as you're commuting to work, now in D.C., that'd be on the metro, what if you just prayed for the people around you and made it a matter of habit? What if when you were doing chores around the house and maybe folding kids' clothing, you know, after washing it, well, what if you turn that into a prayer ritual that you just pray for your kids, that they would be clothed with the character of Christ as you're, you know, folding their clothes? I think it's about letting prayer become part of the rhythm of our lives. And when we do that, I think we would find it pretty remarkable how often we're actually able to pray. And of course, the most important one, Jennifer, may be this idea, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Philippians 4. Well, when was the last time you worried? Or maybe I should say, how many times during a normal day do we worry about something? Well, that's a prayer alarm. That's the alarm going off saying, hey, you need to pray through this situation. And so if we do that, I think what we would discover is that prayer can become a real part of our life.
I think if I did that, I'd be praying every hour. I mean, I know I can find the time to pray. You have so many wonderful stories in your book, Mark, that were founded on bold prayers. Would you like to maybe share a story or two that really stands out to you that would maybe inspire some of our listeners?
Yeah, you know, honestly, some of the stories that have been the most inspiring to me have come from readers. After I wrote The Circle Maker, I actually wrote a 40-day prayer challenge called Draw the Circle, where I share a lot of those stories because they were so inspiring. And I'll tell you one story, but let me just share this, that, you know, over the last year especially, as so many folks have been reading The Circle Maker, it's been fun to see the way different people have implemented it. So I've met with several members of Congress who have read the book and are now literally circling the Capitol in prayer.
Wow, that's excellent.
You know, yeah, teachers and realtors and doctors who are, you know, in essence, turning their kind of daily rhythms into prayer rhythms. There's a NFL coach who done a chapel for their team that he circles their stadium in prayer before every home game. And just all kinds of stories like that. But, you know, probably the most meaningful to me personally is our coffee house on Capitol Hill. It was a crack house 10 or 12 years ago when I first spotted it and started praying circles around it. You know, we didn't have very many people or much money, but I just felt like God was calling us to open a coffee house on Capitol Hill. And so, you know, when you don't have people or money, what you do is pray.
So, and you were praying every day.
So I started praying circles, and you know, here we are a lot of years later, but it's pretty fun because it has been voted the number one coffee house in DC, and I think the Lord's hand of blessing has been on it, and just absolutely grateful for the way that, really, when people walk in, I tell them, this is not a coffee house. This is what prayer looks like. Now, we happen to serve coffee.
Wow.
But this is an answered prayer. And so, you know, I just encourage people that you've got to dream big, think long, and pray hard. And if you do those three things, I believe some good things are going to happen.
Wow. So do you want to leave our listeners with one piece of advice, or would that be your piece of advice right there?
Well, you know, I think my one piece of advice really might be a word of encouragement. You know, I've never met anybody that feels like they pray too much, and I've never met anybody that feels like they pray too effectively. I think all of us feel like we fall short of praying like we could or should, but my encouragement is this, that I've experienced plenty of disappointments in prayer when I pray for things and you know, God has not answered when or how maybe I wanted him to. But what I've learned is that not getting the answer that you're praying for, that's not failure, because it might mean that you are asking for the wrong thing, or it might mean that the time isn't right for God to answer that prayer. But the only way you can fail is not praying. You know, to pray or not to pray, to me, is the issue. And even if you've experienced disappointments in prayer, my encouragement is get right back on your knees and continue to pray and pray through. And you know, you aren't going to bat 1,000, but if you keep yourself in that posture of humility and that posture of prayer, then God's going to do things that are beyond your ability. And then you're going to be able to stand back and give him the glory because of it.
Wow. I think you just read my mind, Mark, because I was going to ask you, you know, what if you've been praying for so long and your prayers haven't been answered? And you just answered my question. So that's amazing. Thank you so much. Tell us how we can find you on your social media. We want to know your website and we want to know all your social media sites.
Yeah. Well, people can find me at markbatterson.com. And then I really enjoy Twitter. It's a way for me to kind of keep tabs on friends and family and staff. And of course, if people are interested, to keep tabs on me. And I'm Mark Batterson on Twitter as well as Instagram. And enjoy some of those social media networks that allow us to keep in touch with each other a little bit. And I think folks could find me in any one of those places.
And then they can also visit you at the National Community Church in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
You're the lead pastor there.
Yeah, if anybody's coming through D.C., here's your invitation. And that is theaterchurch.com. We meet in six theater locations.
Okay.
And so we'd love to have people. And, of course, we have a podcast that people don't even have to be here in person to get in on some of our teaching. So
we can just check that out on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds great because, you know, your church, it says here, it's one of America's most innovative churches. So that's very impressive.
Well, thank you. We love what the Lord's doing. And, you know, we started with a core group of 19 people 17 years ago. And,
wow.
And God bless the church, and we're believing for him to do amazing things right here in the nation's capital.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Mark Batterson. The book is called The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears. Thank you so much for being with us, Mark.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Have a great day.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Writer's Voice on Virginia Voice. I'm Jennifer Robbins.